T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Especially going out there for the first is going to be something that I'm going to have to, you know, try to slow it down a little bit and control. But I'm looking forward to that. It's definitely something that you want to deal with, and that's just a testament to our fan base and how well they back us as players.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30-plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Lots to do today. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, he'll join us in about 15 minutes. We'll continue to talk about the stuff we've been talking about the Brewers maybe lack of confidence in their pitchers, our lack of confidence in the Brewers' pitchers, the Travis Shaw situation, and what to expect out of Jimmy Nelson, who you heard just there. He'll be on the mound tonight. We'll also do Ask Us Anything. Freems, if you're ready, we're going to do it twice today. With Summerfest tickets on the line, getting a ton of questions, want to make sure we can get as many in as possible. So we'll do our weekly Wednesday segment at 7:45 and 8:45 today. Or you can ask us anything. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Use the hashtag AskCW so that we see it. And then one person will win Summerfest tickets, general admission tickets. We'll have that by the end of the day today. And then at 8 o'clock, Aaron Rodgers. Very interesting stuff that he had to say yesterday regarding Bart Starr, regarding Matt LaFleur, regarding his team. And so we'll hear from Aaron Rodgers at about 8 o'clock today. So a lot to get to. Talking Brewers with you here as they fall 16-0 last night. I wonder what weird thing will happen tonight, because last night there's a little more, I think, curiosity with tonight's game, certainly with Jimmy Nelson, and then with last night's game because of the Travis Shaw thing. So, you know, I cleared everything, made sure I was ready to sit down and watch, and I wanted to see every Travis Shaw at-bat. I wanted to inspect it. I wanted to see, well, how is he going to, is he going to look different? Is he going to adjust different? I wanted to see how he played defensively. Did kind of boot one. Did he get tagged with an error for that? I don't remember last night, but he did kind of boot one a little later in the game last night.
I think at some point in that game, it was just
counting.
It stop counting everything. Yeah, get rid of the game.
Yeah.
Stop, please. So ring the bell.
The final said 16-0. It could have actually been 30-31. They just stopped keeping score.
The old softball 10-run rule should have been effect last night.
Yeah, I mean, I would have just forfeited if I was Craig and said, oh, there's rain delay, or open the roof and
live for a new day.
Brewers should have some sort of system in Miller Park where they can just sprinkle down, like when there's a fire at work and then, you know, it starts pouring rain inside your building. They should have that so they can have like fake rain delays, because after 5 innings, game's official. So although that was the 5th inning, so like I guess they would have had to play it out. That's either way,
well,
it was
they,
an
I
embarrassing
mean, it's,
night last
like
night.
It's softball. It's like after 5 innings, if it's a 10-run game, unless they changed this rule in the last 10-15 years, so a 10-run game, the game's called.
I can tell you, in kickball, which I haven't played in a couple of years, so maybe that's changed too. And I haven't talked to you about my kickball stories in a while because they are fleeting. But we had the 10-run rule. Although you got to finish the inning. So they still would have let the Marlins finish the inning in that situation there. But the Marlins do win 16-0. Nevertheless, I get all excited to watch Travis Shaw. And then, like, that's not even the story last night because of how badly the Brewers get embarrassed and how bad Chase Anderson was, giving up 3 home runs, how bad the bullpen was in relief. And now you've got the 16-0 game to deal with, so we'll see if anything weird tonight happens, because Jimmy Nelson is the story going in. Will he be the story coming out? Travis Shaw was the story going into last night, but Chuck, certainly not the story coming out.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was good to see Travis Shaw, I guess, get one legitimate hit last night. But, you know, the second one was a little debatable. It was misjudged by the right fielder, but you know, Jimmy Nelson, the story coming in tonight, I mean, it's just a long time coming for him. He's looking at this as I mean, he's excited about it. He said it was like his first day in school. I don't know if everybody gets excited about their first day of school.
Oh, come on. You have to.
Mm. Do you?
You wear new clothes.
Oh, it's just like the end of summer, though.
You get to see friends you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, but it's like it's
like always a nice day somehow.
Well, that sucks. I mean, because I feel like when I went to grade school at Our Father's Lutheran on 27th Street, it was always, we were like starting like 2 weeks before everybody else. It was like at the end of August or like the third week of August. Like, why are we starting and everybody else, all my other friends are on summer vacation yet? So I always hated that fact.
Oh, did you get out? Did the school year end early for you?
No, it seemed like we got out just the same time as everybody else, but somehow we started 2 weeks before everybody else. Felt like we had like the least vacation time, least everything over there. I swear I went to more grade school days than everybody else in the world.
Well, one way to solve that problem would be year-round schooling.
Oh, that, no.
No, if you want me to.
No. Well, I mean, now that I'm out of, hey, you know what?
It's easier for parents.
With my
8-year-old? Daycare and
stuff. Exactly. Maybe that's a good thing.
You know, and then their brain stays sharp.
Yes.
That's why we're falling behind.
Yeah.
Because these kids are doing math 300 days a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're letting brains rot away in the summertime.
Yeah.
That's for another show.
Different station, maybe.
And I don't even know where I stand on that. Jimmy Nelson is excited, though. We know that. That's what we're talking about. Jimmy Nelson excited for tonight, obviously.
I mean, it was like the first day of school when you're a kid, you know, wake up for Christmas.
First day of school and Christmas.
Woke up this morning real early because I didn't really sleep. So just anxious, excited about it. Really good to see all the guys.
Yeah, I wonder how much he did sleep last night.
I mean, just think of all the hard work he's put into it, and now it finally comes to fruition tonight, pitching tonight in the game, where, you know, we teased a little bit in spring training, thought he might start earlier, and now it's June 5th, and he's finally, almost 2 years, it was September that he got hurt of 2017, almost 2 years to the 2 years to the day, so it's about 2 months short of that he's going to finally pitch another major league game.
Do you remember the first time you were so excited you couldn't sleep? Did that ever happen to you?
You know what? Yeah. I remember my first day working here 10 years ago. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just a new start coming to this radio station. Yeah, oh, absolutely. July of 2009. I remember the night before. It was like, oh, God, all that weekend. I was just fired up about it. Sure.
And you couldn't sleep.
Couldn't, yeah. No, I remember that. You?
First time I remember I couldn't sleep, I was 10 years old. My grandpa worked at a Cops Foods.
Mm-hmm.
He's a manager. So he had this like deal with Coca-Cola, and they invited him, and then so he then invited my dad and me to go up to Green Bay and spend a day with the Packers at training camp.
Okay.
And I'm not talking like sit outside the fence. I'm talking a day with the Packers. So I'm 10 years old, so on the team then, Favre's in his third year, all right, to date a lot of people. The Packers are, you know, a good team now, are starting to really become there. My boy Leroy Butler running around the secondary. So I'm 10 years old, and I got to eat breakfast with them. I sat at a table with Packers. You know, I got to walk in the whole facility. I got to watch from the sidelines of training camp. I got to, like, be a Packer for a day and go everywhere that they could and meet some of the guys and get autographs. And that was just, for a 10-year-old kid, man, to have that sort of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't sleep.
So you were fired up the night before.
And my dad slept like a rock, and then it's like 3 a.m., and I come run into his room. I'm like, you know, Daddy, I can't sleep, so now it's your problem, too.
And this was what year?
94.
94, okay.
And that's when I got Favre's autograph. But by the time I got Favre's autograph, it was the last autograph I got, and I used the Sharpie, and it like faded away. So I have a Brett Favre autograph where it says like BRE.
You know those Sharpies, man. They're good for the first couple of usings. Then after a while, the tip rounds out a little bit, and it's not as sharp anymore. The Sharpie's not as sharp, and then by the end, it's like, yeah, if you have a bad Sharpie and you're getting an autographed,
yeah,
ugh. It's fuzzy. It's a fuzzy autograph.
That was also the year, because I was just getting autographs from everybody. I mean, I'm around the Green Bay Packers, you know, 10 years old.
Yeah.
What a thrill. I went up to this one guy. I don't remember who he was. I've tried to figure it out. But I went up to this one guy. I go, hey, man, can I have your autograph? And he took the paper and Sharpie and goes, man, you don't want no autograph from me. I ain't going to be here next week anyway.
because he knew he was getting cut.
Okay.
He signed it, but it was like, here I am all excited to meet these guys, and this guy's about to lose his job, and then he's like making me a part of that. So it was just, it was crazy. So that
well,
was 1994,
when the Packers are just starting their ascension. Just starting their ascension to greatness, man. The access like that doesn't happen anymore.
No.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers isn't riding his bike or a kid's bike. You know, he's getting in somebody's SUV.
Rodgers, didn't he still ride the bike?
I don't think he does.
I think he does.
No, I don't think he does. I think Aaron, no.
Yeah.
No. I think he's got Danica waiting for with the SUV. Gets in the SUV.
To go across the street.
You know, he gets in the SUV. Danica, you know, reads him, you know, bitches him out for a little bit for the 2-minute ride, and then he gets back out, and then he gets into the building.
Oh, I've got some Rodgers ex-girlfriend news.
I don't think Danica. Do you think Danica ever has a nice thing to say?
She was just on the Indy 500 coverage.
Yeah, she just always sounds like she's got a chip on her shoulder. Like she's having a bad day. I've never seen the girl smile ever. She always looks annoyed. I mean, just does not look like a very nice person.
I mean, I would rather he be with Olivia, but...
So what's the old girlfriend news?
Olivia Munn posted a sexy picture on Instagram.
Okay.
And Kevin Durant liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But he liked it during game one of the NBA Finals. So
while he was sitting on the bench?
Or he's in the locker room.
Okay.
So because he was in Toronto.
Odd.
But Kevin Durant liked...
So people made that correlation.
Liked a sexy tweet of Olivia Munn.
Oh, what does she have, a sexy dress on? What'd she look like?
I'm going to let you go find that on your own.
Forget it then.
Kurt's in his car. It's better for your eyes than to me.
Yeah.
Describe a sexy woman. What's up, Kurt?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
Hey, how have you been?
Kurt, man, we haven't talked to you since Bucks season.
I know, man. And I got a cool Buck story. You guys were just talking about, you know, cool stories where you couldn't sleep the night before.
Yeah, sure. That'll be our topic.
I'm sorry, man, but I had to call in and tell you this. So December 2013, I won a trip with the Bucks as a day in the life of an NBA player.
Oh, wow.
So me and my dad got on the Bucks plane after they played the Bulls that night. We got on the Bucks plane, flew to Dallas on their plane, hung out with them, got to the hotel. We had our own room, woke up the next day, was able to go to basketball practice with them, came back to the hotel, hung out. That night, went to the game. They got beat. Monte Ellis had a great game. Left that night, got back on the plane and flew home.
Okay.
The coolest thing.
What year was that?
December of 2013.
Did you run with O.J. Mayo at all?
I did not, but that was the night that O.J. Mayo's grandmother died.
Oh, well, I don't remember that, but was Larry Sanders was on that team, wasn't he?
He had just gone, because you remember Monte Ellis played for us.
Yeah.
He had just went down to Dallas.
Okay.
And we walked in the stadium with him because the Dallas stadium, the players park underneath the stadium. So the bus pulls up, we get out, and some Dallas players and a Bucks player, we're all walking in at the same time. I'm walking in basically right next to Monte Ellis, which was one of my favorite players at the time. And I just looked at him and said, hey, man, score some points but lose tonight. And he just looked at me and smiled. He killed us that night, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was a good experience, at least, on a bad basketball team.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
I think that's the year that Brandon Jennings
like that.
Brandon Jennings said,
"Thanks, Kurt, for the story.
We're going to win the series in six. Bucks in six. That was 2013, wasn't it? I want to say it was the year they got swept by Miami and LeBron.
You know how I know I've been doing this show for a while?
Yeah, 3 years.
Not only do I hear you tell the same stories, Kurt's told us that one before.
Oh, he has. Yeah,
it's a good story, Kurt.
Yeah."
I'm always up for a Kurt call.
Miroslav Radulica was on that team.
Oh, that sure.
Him. Yeah, what a stiff he was.
The big Radu.
Yeah, the big Radu.
Of course.
He was about as fragile as a noodle. How about that?
That's a good one.
There we go.
I would lead with that.
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. Tough one for him last night. 16-0.
Yeah, it was. So he's up this early? He's going to join us after that loss?
Yeah, we're going to hear birds in the background and then his dog's barking.
That's right, because he's always like out on the porch having a smoke.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Tim. and nature next.
Goodbye, Brian Anderson. The Marlins go back to back, and they lead it 4-0.
That was the Marlins Radio Network. The Marlins Twitter account rubbing it in last night. I mean, why not? When you get an opportunity to beat a team 16-0, rubbing in a little bit. Again, yeah, we just played you the highlight of one run. Mm-hmm. That was one of the 16 that the Marlins scored last night. Somebody on Twitter said, is this the worst Brewer game of all time? And I responded, no, but I think it's the funniest. Well, I mean, at some point in those games, you start to laugh.
I mean, okay, at one point where
I was rooting for them to score 20.
Well, as much as we like joke about the Marlins being such a bad franchise, they have something that we don't have. They got two World Series titles. We don't even have one. They got two world championships there. As bad as their fan base is, and it just seems like they're so irrelevant. They got two championships there. We don't have any in 50 years.
Well, they bought entire teams.
Yeah, well, hey, at least they got there.
David Stearns won't even go pay $10 million for one pitcher, but the Marlins are going to go buy World Series.
Paid $18 million for Yasmani Grandal, man.
How about Craig Counsell, who's won two World Series, one with the Marlins, mm-hmm. one with the Diamondbacks? So these two recent expansion teams that have little history.
Yeah.
Council's won World Series with, mm-hmm. and then he's trying to get to a World Series with his Brewers.
With his hometown team.
Yeah, who he played for twice and now manages since 2015.
And his dad worked for.
And they've been in the league for 50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can't even sniff it.
Again, that's when I tell you, the most feudal franchise of professional sports has got to be the Milwaukee Brewers. It is, man. They've been to one championship round, the 82 World Series, and that's it.
Well, the guy who's been doing post-game shows for, 31 years here on The Fan?
Something like that.
Tim Allen joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. What's up, Timmy?
Hi, Al.
What's happening? Hey, boys. You know, the lack of a World Series ring means that it will be that much sweeter when it does get here. See that?
Well, I always ask you this, Tim. Will we see a World Series championship in our lifetime?
Yes. Yeah, we will. And Stearns, if you just look at a big picture view, this dude is well on his way, guys. You know that. I mean, he's made a couple of mistakes along the way, but they all do. And he really is on par, man, so quickly that they are competing at a high level. And you just imagine what's going to happen in the next year, 2, 3 to 5, somewhere in there. I think it's coming. I do. He's well on his way.
Tim, what team will win a world a championship in the state first here? 799-1250.
No, what's the question?
What's the question, Timmy? You mentioned David Stearns, and there's a guy that came up to Chuck yesterday at Miller Park and said, you guys don't criticize Stearns enough on the show. And I think that Stearns has had a lot of good moves, and we were going through them a little earlier. We were saying Christian Yelich. We were saying Lorenzo Cain. We were saying bringing in, you know, Mike Moustakas and Grandal on these deals. And we went through a lot of moves, and there was one thing they all had in common. None of them were pitchers. It seems like for as well as he's able to find talent, acquire talent, pay for talent on the offensive side, the pitching has just been like patchwork for the last 4 years, and now you're at a case where I don't even know what the five-man rotation looks like because you've got guys who came up here in Gio Gonzalez to be a Band-Aid. Now you need Band-Aids for him. We're going to see Jimmy Nelson tonight. At some point, I would like to see the pitching be less of a mystery and more of a consistent five-man unit that you can rely on, but it just doesn't seem like they're ever going to get there.
Yeah, it's funny you guys mentioned that, and Chuck, and it's funny that someone approaches you last night. It's exactly what came up on the show last night, and that is the pitching. To me, it seems messy is a strong word, but it does seem a little messy, guys. It does, with a couple of guys that, you know, go onto the injured list with, is it a break? Is it a, you know, recess period? I mean, some tend to think so, and you know, it's Freddy Peralta. What's he going to do? Are you a long-term starter with him? It does seem a little scattered, for sure. But it did last year, too, guys. And that's what I'm going to just rest on, is that it did seem a little messy at times last year. So they got it done last year and got it done in terms of as deep as they went. when you talk about Stearns, yes, he has made mistakes. And I think to this very minute in time, there's two big mistakes that he's made. And one may have been out of his control. Let's start with the coaching staff. You were on the doorstep of the World Series last year. How in the world an organization like this that was right there, bring the band back together. These guys are going to have success. Get as many of these guys back together as you can. And that includes the coaching staff. You let your hitting coach, your pitching coach, your bullpen coach just scatter for the doors. It was like it was a fire drill. And I'm still concerned about that. We don't really know. Now, again, the Derek Johnson thing may have been out of his control. I understand that, and I'll consider that. But in terms of what we know, that to me was a head-scratcher. It was. Number two, a big mistake. And I was concerned about it coming into the season. A team, again, poised to take the next step into the World Series. You break out of camp. You break out of camp with three, not one, not two, but three young starters, three-fifths of your rotation. Do you think the odds of that were going to be successful? What were the odds of all three at Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns all having success coming out of the chute the first year that they're going to get 20 to 33 starts? Those are the two biggest mistakes that Stearns has made, in my opinion. However, he's made far more good decisions over those years, too. So it does minimize that damage a little bit. But there's two right there, guys.
There seems to be, as we talk with Tim Allen, Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Hashtag, or no, we are hashtag MilHockey.
That's right.
Okay, there we go. There seems to be and I haven't been able to find the right way to phrase this, but there seems to be some sort of, maybe it's arrogance with the Brewers over the last few years, or some sort of, and that might be too strong of a word, but some sort of like bravado that we have
you
a way.
Want that though, Bart, don't what, you?
What's that?
Don't you want that though?
I mean,
play with the big boys,
but
you
they're
have a little swagger to you.
They seem to like we don't need a real pitching staff to win. Okay, there's that, and then there's the well, things will always work out for us. Keston here ends up getting demoted because of that strategy. It just seems like they try to do, and this is where I can't find the right phrase for it. They try to be like above the rest of the league in a way, and I don't necessarily always think that it's right. Like Keston here should be up here at this time, but the Brewers never want to lose anybody in any way, and they don't want to send down a veteran in the minor leagues to, you know, hurt feelings or whatever. And then with the pitching, it's like, oh no, we don't need to bring Wade Miley back. We don't need to trade for somebody. We'll do it our way. It just seems like, yeah, that worked last year to get to the NLCS, but one, you fell short of the World Series, and two, I think that it worked almost in spite of that. I don't know that the Brewers' way of doing things is the best way for them to do things, and that's where I'm trying to have a hard time finalizing what I'm trying to say, if that makes sense to you.
No, it does, and I asked Craig Counsell that a couple of months ago in Arizona. Was your pitching strategy based on your pitching strategy? Is that the code that you've cracked in Major League Baseball, or is it based on you have to do it this way because of your personnel? And Craig Counsell leaned toward the personnel. He did say, you know, again, on the fence a little bit. Said it's both for sure, but the answer was it leans more toward the personnel. Anybody can roll out Max Scherzer every 5 days. They just don't have that luxury quite yet. I'm sure they wouldn't have this strategy if they did have a stud or two up there. Now we're seeing things level off. Maybe Davies, maybe Woodruff are those guys that we're not going to, you know, get your magical 17 outs, 5 2/3 innings pitched, and then go to a pen. The pen is not the pen of last year either. So you do have a challenge in front of you this year, and it's pitching. We asked last night on the show, I mean, where's the biggest room for improvement? Starting pitching, bullpen, the offense, or just the names on the backs of the jerseys? And really, most people had said that it's starting pitching. So, Bart, you're onto something there with the starting pitching. But that is compounded by a pen that's nowhere near last year. They're going to have to figure something out. Taylor Williams, ERA, north of 12. Corbin Burns still can't get on a run to get the ERA consistently down each time out. And he's now reapproaching 10. They're going to have to figure something out both sides. It does come down to pitching.
I mean, their relief corps. I mean, we talk about the pitching staff. Starting pitching staff, he didn't put together. The bullpen, he's done a nice job putting together the bullpen. We're just starting to wait for those results because the guys like Claudio have not delivered. See, I mean, they're just in a unique spot this year. I mean, how many contending teams have to roll out three unproven guys into their starting rotation because they say the time is now for those guys? But this is where the Brewers are, because they're just not going to go out and pay a lot of money for big-time starting pitching. They invested most of their money in offense.
No, and that's why they lean on, you know, one of the spots in that rotation last year, a Wade Miley. Find it. You know, this year they attempted a potential Josh Tomlin, and we all know how that worked out. And then mid-season, or mid to this point, Gio Gonzalez. So they have to be prudent, and they got to get lucky a little bit. Let's face it. Wade Miley, who'd have thought last year coming into that season would have done what he did? Gio Gonzalez down the stretch last year, and then even this year, he's been good. He's been really good. So they, unfortunately, they have to rely on that. But you would think, you know, Jimmy Nelson, a homegrown dude, a Brandon Woodruff, homegrown dude. You would think one of those guys, not just those two names, but other names that may pop up, find one, man. Find that anchor. Find that guy. And they just haven't yet.
What do you, as you bring him up there, I mean, what is your expectation, desire, hope for Jimmy Nelson? Because I still won't believe he's pitching until he's pitching. I still fear that, like, something's going to happen in warm-ups where he can't go, or, you know, his car will break down on the way to the stadium tonight or something.
Yeah, it really is kind of a cool story when you think about it. I underestimated the story a little bit when they announced that he was going to start. And it's like, okay, yeah, Jimmy's back. But then you think about it, you talk about it. It really is an amazing story, and a non-pitching injury, so you didn't really have any sort of clarification or verification of what it would take, how long it would be. You do have to, and you know, not, obviously not paid by the Brewers, and not to sound like the biggest Brewer honk, but you do have to credit the perseverance of that organization to kind of hang with that, the training staff, all of that. We'll see if that pays off. I want to see him pitch. I still want to win a baseball game, and obviously they do too, but it kind of is cool. It's almost a two-year run for that dude, and he was good, 12-6 in 17 with a 3.4 earned run average. And his numbers, quite frankly, aren't that bad in the minors here this year in four appearances, 3.74. It looks like he's going to – if you're rolling out there Freddie Peralta's and Chase Anderson's, don't tell me Jimmy Nelson – after this comeback, can't perform at that level or better.
Well, we hope, because we've seen guys who've tried to come back from that kind of injury and have failed miserably and are the shell of the pitcher that he is. And Miller Park, you can't – that's a tough place to make your first start after 2 years. Miller Park, because where mistakes go out easily at Miller Park.
They do, and he's going to – hey, if he's ready to go, we would expect that he's going to perform – at a high level. Don't bring him back if your goal is to, hey man, our expectations are if he can get through, get into the fifth maybe, 4 2/3, a 3-run. I don't want those goals. I really don't. I expect him, if they're ready to turn him loose, turn him loose. 7 innings, a couple of runs. Why wouldn't you expect that? But again, overall, pretty damn cool story. It kind of is. Don't underrate it. It's 2 years of a guy that has worked his tail off to get where he's at. And then throw in, guys, you got to throw in the human part of it too. With the there was some medical issues with his newborn twins, and there's still some hospital stays for those guys. And yeah, it's just kind of cool. It is, and maybe it'll lighten the mood a little bit after a 16-zip debacle last night.
Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. You'll hear him again tonight after Jimmy Nelson takes the mound for the Brewers. The other big news this week, of course, and we alluded to it, but Keston Hira down, Travis Shaw up. Was there anything else the Brewers could have or should have done to keep Hira up here at the big league level? Because I know that we were upset about it, and a lot of people upset about that one.
Well, the lay of the land, you guys know it as well as anybody. You were going to have to make a tough cut. You want to be impressive with the dagger. Release Jesus Aguilar. That would have been big. Eric Thames, work something out with him where, you know, you pay him off or something to exercise an option that he does have, but he's got to clear it. Send down Ben Gamble. There's your boy, Chuck. Maybe Ben Gamble. He's got an option left.
Yeah. Well, he's
It could have been. And they could have made that tough decision. And I believe fully that Travis Shaw has earned this right. And the best this team can be is to have Travis Shaw return to what he is, and I'm convinced he will, and then spike in Keston here when that opportunity comes. Not necessarily for Shaw, but things can happen. HP, there's you know, that option. There's Moustakas in the hand, and you know, who, any number of things could happen. Maybe a trade at the big league level. Someone, there is some value.
Yeah.
With Jesus Aguilar. There still is. So I just think, big picture, I think Travis Shaw getting back to what he is most beneficial, and then spike in.
And back to Gamble. I take some criticism on that. He's batting 255, better than we thought. Okay. I mean, 255, I mean, he's not competing for a batting title anytime soon. The strikeout totals are a little high for a fourth outfielder. He's got 46 Ks in 137 at bats. That's just way too high. Although he's a plus outfielder. But it's not like, I think Ben, as I said before, has exceeded expectations, because I set the bar low for him to begin with.
Well, I think it's more than that, and I'm a Ben Gamble kind of guy. He plays.
You're like the Ben Gamble of the fan.
He plays the game the way it's just D in the dirt type of player, man. Tough at bat. You're right, Chuck. He's really good defensively, but and the 255 is just low because just as of late, you know, a bad little stretch here. And consider this, that you know, you can't measure him like a starter's numbers, because coming off the bench, as you know, is a big time challenge. I'm overjoyed with what he's provided. He is exactly what they needed in the fourth outfield spot.
Tim, appreciate it. Have a good day. We will listen to you tonight on the postgame show, as we do every night. Chuck and I both pull up the radio.com app, and then kind of like fangirl during your shows, we text each other back and forth about the funny and smart things you say. So we'll continue to do that tonight.
Jimmy Nelson night tonight.
Thanks, Timmy.
Thanks, Tim.
You got it.
Tim Allen joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Perkins has been around for about 60 years as well. And right now, it is strawberry festival time. It is spring at Perkins. And you know what that means? Strawberries.
God, am I hungry right about now?
Well, how about you leave, go to Perkins, I'll do the rest of the show.
Oh, okay. I'm serious. I'd be up for that.
Okay,
and I'll be
that
back.
Just shows that you're not committed to your job, but that's fine.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, of course I'm committing. I'm committing to you know, put some revenue, further revenue in the Perkins. They could buy more commercial, make you more money.
It's not what it's about, Freems. It's about delicious food.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'll get two breakfasts.
Will you get the fresh strawberry croissant French toast and strawberry buttermilk pancake platter?
I think June is made for strawberries.
It is the strawberry festival, as you know, I've been telling you. And maybe if you go after work, you'll be hungry for a salad. Smoked pulled chicken, fresh strawberries, glazed walnuts, feta cheese on crisp garden greens.
Do you ever do that, the doubleheader? I mean, where you have an order of, you get a breakfast, and then it's so good, about halfway through, the waitress will come and say, hey, how are things going? You say, I'd like another.
Yeah, and they like think you're joking.
No.
No, I'm not joking,
no,
ma'am.
No.
This was very good. I want more.
Sure.
I've done that, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. And then you pound the second one, too.
And then you ask for a third.
Well, I never got that far yet, but I've done the second. I've done the round two. 8 pieces of toast. Oh, God, yeah.
Well, they'll let you eat as many meals as you want in one sitting at Perkins all throughout the greater Milwaukee area. We've got your chance to win Summerfest tickets today. And tickets to see the Violent Femmes tomorrow at the Riverside. Ask us anything. We do it every Wednesday around 8:45. But there are so many good questions, so we want to try to get them all in today, that we'll answer some next, and then we'll answer some again in the next hour. Plus, next hour, we're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers Very, very different sort of aura to Aaron Rodgers this year. I wonder why. Maybe it's the coaching change has something to do with it. It's Chuck and Winkler. Ask us anything next.
Sports. You've been sending your questions in all morning for Chuck and Winkler. And now it's time for some answers.
Just answer the question, please.
This is Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Every Wednesday, we take your questions and answer them. They could be about sports. They could be about anything. That's why the segment is called Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything. Now, today, a little prize on the line, some Summerfest tickets, some Violent Femmes tickets for tomorrow night at the Riverside. So, with the large amount of questions, we thought, why not do it a couple more times? So, we are going to do it at 8:45 like normal, but Ryan Horvath is here to ask your questions a little early, Horvy.
Horvy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Horvat's like the Keston Hero of the Fan.
Yeah, Horvy.
He gets a shot, he performs well, then right back to demotion town.
Horvy, last night when I was the ceiling experience I went to for the first time, they were playing old some of the old Braves stuff. Your uncle, Earl Gillespie, was featured in that.
Really?
Yeah, his call. The 57 World Series, I want to say. Yeah.
You know, I do the same thing during blowouts or when I get bored, just need to stretch out my legs a little bit. I always walk past the C-League experience, and I'm like, man, I want to check that out. But, you know, I'm obviously, it's never really the time because this is always in like the sixth or seventh inning. I don't know how much time
I'm telling
I have,
you, you got to do it. I've done the same thing, and I finally did it last night, and it was it's amazing.
Yeah, I got to check it
out. It is great.
I have to check it out. My entire family's done it pretty much except for me. All right, let's jump into it. Steven Ring, Ask CW, would Chuck rather go back to Canada for a week or take Danica on a date? And it's a two-part question. Would Bart rather watch an entire season of Big Bang Theory or wear M-O-T-R-E?
Motor Bame.
Motor Bame.
They call the Brewers diamond logo Motor Bame.
Oh, yeah, Motor Bame, okay.
Instead of Notre Dame.
That's right.
Danica?
Brewers gear for the rest of your season.
I'm not big into the alpha females. I'm just not. You know, I don't know anything about Dan. Just doesn't come across as a very nice person.
So you'd rather go back to Canada for a week?
I'd go to Canada, go fishing up there, yeah. I'd like to go fishing in Canada.
Ice fishing or regular fishing?
Regular. Although half the state, half the country is, the provinces up there are covered in ice right now anyway. I saw snow when I was up there.
Motor Bame. I've never heard of that somehow.
Yeah, Motor Bame. I would rather wear Motor Bame stuff than watch any Big Bang Theory. I'm so glad that show's over with. The show's terrible.
Worst show ever. My wife loved it.
There's no jokes.
No.
It's just this guy's saying things that try to sound smart, and then there's a laugh track. So you'd rather go to Canada than date Danica?
Yeah. That sounds more fun. Yeah. I mean, does Danica seem like a fun person to be around?
No.
Okay. You got then. Canada's not a great place to go to, but I'll take going to Canada.
Does Rodgers seem like a fun guy to hang out with? He can't even chug a beer.
Does not seem like it either.
That's like a huge national story that Rodgers can't chug a beer.
Yeah.
They said that's the reason the Bucks lost, because it's like the goat curse for the Bucks is Rodgers can't chug a beer.
Well,
I can't chug a beer. There's a special skill you got to do to open your throat.
Mm-hmm.
It should actually be more manly if you can't chug a beer.
Do you think Danica could?
If you know what I'm saying.
Could Danica?
Yes.
Danica's arms are too muscular.
Danica's unbelievable.
Some of these chicks that work out and have like ripped arms.
Yeah, for somebody who drives in a car all day, man, she's in a hell of a shape.
She's all right, but the Olivia Munn stuff, woo, love her. Love her. I'm with KD on that one. No fault.
What's next?
Double L's wants to know who's a bigger F-Jack. I almost actually just said it. Lost my job for life. Who's a bigger F-Jack, Matt Garza or Cole Hamels?
Oh, Matt Garza. Yeah, Matt Garza.
I got to pull up his tweets.
I actually dislike John Lester worse than Cole Hamels. But Matt Garza, yeah. No.
Matt Garza, remember, he's the one that DM'd me to keep my name out his mouth before I even got this job.
That's my favorite Matt Garza memory, though.
Let's see. Sophia tweeted last night, productive stint for Keston Hira, 17 games, 281, 5 home runs, a couple other stats. Garza quote tweeted her, wow, such a numbers game. Ha 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 ha. One more month of seasoning, and he'll be a free agent eligible in 2027, not 2026.
Who said
that? Who's counting? Matt Garza did.
Yeah.
Which is very factually incorrect anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt Garza is basically saying the Brewers are cheap. Big Aaron J44, who had some complimentary tweets about us mm-hmm. that I'll get to a little later, said, remember when the Brewers gave this Dingleberry 22 starts despite an ERA of 5, all because he was being paid $12.5 million? No wonder the team is focused on generating as much value as possible out of their talent. Garza responded to him, you mean the same guy who pitched through a torn rotator and frayed labrum that was misdiagnosed for bicep tendonitis, medically retired at 33 with 12 years in MLB? I know that guy.
Yeah.
So Garza going at it with fans.
Stole
last
$50 night. Million from the Brewers.
But this Big Aaron guy, I don't know if you saw some of these tweets. He said that he started golfing when you and Wicket talked about it like 7 years ago.
Okay.
And how Wicket said that all you got to do is golf one round, and, you know, if you have one good shot, you're hooked. You want to go again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you a couple years ago told me that I have to take a divot when using my irons.
Mm-hmm.
He started, Aaron did, implementing that into his game. Says he's taking about 5 to 10 strokes off his round each time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to take a divot. I mean, you can't have any success without taking a divot. Harvey, do you golf at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you take a divot?
Not well. No, I don't.
You know, I've yet to golf this year.
Yeah, you told me that you're not that into it right now.
I used to go to the range.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was I worked every day last summer on the postgame show, so when you're on that Brewer schedule with them, it's tough to get out there.
Yeah, I guess if you're working nights, it's tough to get out there and golf during the day.
Horvat!
I was on the vampire schedule. Will sports gambling ever be legal in Wisconsin? Brian wants to know.
Well, it sounds like they're way behind the eight ball on that. I don't know.
The tribal casinos are never going to let it happen.
Never say never, but doesn't look very good right now.
I think it's more likely that sports gambling becomes legal in Wisconsin if it becomes like a federal law
right.
than a state law.
Probably, but if the states can do their own deals on this, Wisconsin's going to have a struggle.
That's all right. I'll just keep going to Illinois and give them my money.
Or Michigan when they get theirs.
I'll give Illinois my
Iowa,
money.
Minnesota, Iowa? Maybe.
Yeah, plenty of options now. Brewers to the World Series in 19. Have you ever gotten a player's autograph while being part of the media? For example, say you interviewed Barry Bonds for the show, but when you're done, then ask him for an autograph.
No, you can't. You can't. That's illegal. No, no.
Well, I don't think it's illegal.
Well, you'll lose your credential.
Yeah.
If you do it at the ballpark. But he's talking about if anybody ever came in studio or you did anything, you know, off-site. Like, let's say you're at a golf outing.
We take pictures with guys.
We take pictures with guys, but you could never do that.
Right.
You can't go in the locker room and just start, you know, getting autographs or asking for broken bats.
I did it one time, but it was not with an athlete. It was with then-Senator Barack Obama.
Okay.
When I interviewed him in my TV days.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get his autograph?
I did.
I got Bernie Sanders. I think he was drunk.
I think if they came in studio, it'd be different.
I swear to God, I was doing a parade, a 4th of July parade, and everybody's like, Bernie's here, Bernie Sanders. And so I had to like stretch the mic all the way out. I'm like, what am I even doing here? You know, I'm calling. I'm doing play-by-play for a parade. And here come the fire trucks. Then you get kicked off air because of the sirens, you know? So Bernie's coming down the street, and I'm like, Bernie! Bernie, you gonna win? I had like no good questions. He smelled like schnapps, like his breath reeked, and he was like, "You know it." And that was like all he gave me, and he just kept walking. I'm trying to walk with
you
him.
You got that tape yet?
I think I have it. Yeah,
okay.
I have it.
Can you get it by the end of the show?
Yes.
KSIB Radio in Creston, Iowa.
All
so
right.
If anybody could locate that, yeah, it was me and the burn for about 35 seconds,
okay.
And I'm pretty sure he was hammered.
Okay. Well,
I was hungover.
Because I
want to
make sure this is a true story.
Oh, I swear on my kid's life.
Well, let's. I want to hear the tape.
That's fine. If they podcast
already?
Things at KSIB.
We have three questions?
Well, we got more at 8:45, player.
Yeah, can we throw one more in here?
Sure.
Okay, really quick. If you could pick any other co-host to go out and have some beers with, who would it be? Sorry, this is from Brian Christ. What person on The Fan would you most likely go bar hopping with?
Other than each other?
Yeah, other than each other.
Well, Bart and I have never been in the same bar together.
It's got to be from another show anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go runner hot with Billy Schmidt.
Yeah, Billy Schmidt, Michaels. I mean, everybody. I mean, Tim Allen, we just had on.
Timmy?
Yeah. Ellie. I mean, yeah. I mean, I like everybody here.
I've been out with Billy. I want to go out with McGivern. Me and Big Time.
Big
I feel
time?
Like everybody knows him, and you probably just get free stuff the entire night. Like, you want Jaeger bombs? You're with Big Time?
Yeah.
State champion coach?
Oh, yeah.
There
he
you
knows
got
everybody.
It.
Especially at Martin Luther. Yeah.
I would
He's
go
giving the commencement speech to Martin Luther.
I think he did that already.
Oh, did he have the graduation?
Last weekend, okay. Yeah. I would go with Radio Joe because then I'd pay
for the
tab.
Yeah?
Because I just envision he's just going to order kitty cocktails and they'll give it to us for free.
If sodas, I'm single, free I go refills. With Leroy to pick up chicks. Like, hey, I'm here with Super
Well,
Bowl
Roy
champion.
Definitely better have you on the tab, yeah.
We're trying to leap into your DMs.
Somehow, if you go to a bar with Leroy, somehow the bar will end up paying Leroy money.
Yeah.
I don't know how that will work. It's Chuck and Winkler. Speaking of the Packers, Aaron Rodgers. Dude is like as open, as interesting as ever. We're going to hear from that. Plus, an insult to Matt LaFleur based on Mighty Ducks. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.